thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
And some
here's John Williams.
Silly ones. Hi, it's John. We're in the Skyline studio. Weekdays 9 to noon. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, Steve Cochran. And here we go all the way till 12. Steve Rzanich remains in the WGN Radio News Desk for this hour. Steve will open with a little bit of comedy. All right, so go ahead and do the story about the potatoes again, about the French fries.
The French fry shortage. This could be pretty serious because, you know, people love their French fries, right?
Oh, yeah.
Apparently it was kind of cold and wet. This also impacted the apple crop this year, by the way. But the result of all of this is potatoes that aren't big enough to cut because the French fry processors, they like the longer potatoes so they can cut them, obviously, to make long French fries. They don't exist. And so higher prices for fries and maybe restaurants even serving smaller portions.
When I've seen really long fries and like curly fries that stretched out, I think, how did that happen? I guess it's really long potatoes.
Can't we just have short, stubby ones? They're fine with me.
Nah. Well, yeah. Everybody has their preference.
The same, yeah.
Andy, what kind of a story do you think this is?
Well, I don't want to steal your thunder, so I'm going to let you go ahead and say it.
We think this is small potatoes.
Good crowd.
I like to defer in cases like that.
By the way, speaking of comedy, and I don't know that we have been, but we'll talk a little later on about Pete Davidson and the non-disclosure agreement he asked people to sign when he was in town last week. He said, if you even share your opinion of his show, he's going to fine you $1 million. Bah, bah, bah. And it made me think, I don't know Pete Davidson's stand-up that well, right?
Yeah,
we know him on Saturday Night Live. You know him on social media. You know about his personal issues. You know about his tattoos. I like Pete Davidson, what I know of him. And I also find myself rooting for Pete Davidson. I want that young, really bright, funny man to get his stuff together and have a long, fruitful, productive comedy life. I'm not sure that's going to be easy for him. And then he's in town, and everybody's excited about it. And then you see this NDA that says, if you even share an opinion about it, he's not saying you steal the stuff because you videotape it on your phone. He doesn't even want you talking about it. And if you do, they fine you $1 million. I'm like, oh, that's not the Pete I want to root for. Come on, man.
Like a sequestered audience.
I know. And really, I think in this day and age, not only is that not practical, but I don't even know if that's legal.
It doesn't sound legal. I would be interested in the legal basis for all of this, whether any of this can be enforced.
Actually, we've got a legal opinion about that. We'll get to that in a little bit. Our news click yesterday, before we knew some of the things that transpired with Lori Lightfoot and Eddie Johnson, the news click yesterday was, it's a daily web poll question we post at WGNradio.com on the John Williams page. Chicago cops, by regulation, are not to get drunk, even when off duty. You had two options about that. A, good idea, or B, are you kidding me?
Just don't get drunk in front of a camera.
I guess I think that it's here's what's happened, I think, in the last 24 hours about the Lori Lightfoot, Eddie Johnson story. It's all of our story. It's everybody's story. And I think it's personal behavior versus public behavior. We'll talk a little bit about that. Our new news click is, did Lori Lightfoot do the right thing in firing Eddie Johnson? If you go to WGNradio.com right now on the John Williams page, right, Ella, if it's up, you can vote on that, and I'd be interested in your thoughts about that. We're watching the markets, by the way. Producer Ella, where is the Dow now, please?
The Dow is trading at 27,379 points, John. Yeah. It's down 403 points.
Not good. President's comments about trade with China driving markets lower today. Then he'll say something different, and they'll go up again. As Orion says sometimes, don't look. If you don't like what's in your portfolio, just don't. I look two times a year, said Orion once to us. And I suppose he's still doing that. Our news click at WGNradio.com. Is it right or wrong that the regulations that the cops operate under in the city of Chicago is that they are not to, they can drink, but they can never be inebriated. A Chicago police officer can never be drunk. I mean, I'm not advocating for that, but if you're not driving, if you're at home, if you're at a party, and you can be drunk responsibly, you know, tell that to your liver, but you can be drunk responsibly. You're telling me a Chicago cop can never be drunk on or off duty? You had two options. Good idea. 40%. Are you kidding me? That's got 60% of the vote. The new news click is, did the mayor act correctly yesterday when she dismissed Eddie Johnson a month early? Frank, you're on WGN. You wanted to say something about that. You're on the air. Hi.
Hi. Good morning, John. I think we should reflect a couple weeks ago when Eddie Johnson made his public announcement. He had came up with this story about he was in London watching the Bears game, spending quality time with his son, came up with this story that his son asking, "Dad, when you coming home? And when you come home, can you just bring me a jelly donut?" That's what he said in his public statement.
I remember the story, so you're not buying that, huh?
Well, just the whole story, there was hesitation in the story, and it just didn't feel genuine. And perhaps he kind of knew that if the cops that approached his vehicle had body cameras and something was not right, he knew that his demise in the department was very, very near. And that whole thing, the whole story about it's time, the donut, it just didn't seem genuine. That's my opinion, yeah. But it just didn't seem real for somebody who had 30 years in the service to come up with a story like that. But
I guess we all heard that story differently, right? I remember talking about it in the afternoon with Steve Bertrand, and some of us heard it as genuine, and others heard it another way. When he said he went to the Bears game in London with his family, and he looked around and realized, I don't do this much anymore, and I miss it, I believed that. Now, maybe both things are true. He had a pang of anxiety about missing his family and getting on in life. His health's not great. But he also maybe knew something could hit the fan here, too. So maybe it was both things at play. Because, wait, let's see. It was October 17th that he was asleep at the wheel. When were they in London? That was before, right?
That was week six of the season, I believe.
Assuming that was before, yeah. Yeah. All right, I appreciate your thoughts on that. Thanks for calling in.
All right, Jess.
Have a good day, Frank. Yeah, I'm not, if both are true, I guess both could be true either way. But at the time when he said that, I thought, yeah, I believe that.
Actually, it was week five. It was October 6th.
Okay, October 6th, they were in London. October 17th, he slumped over at the wheel. And then sometime later, he said, well, in fact, let's just play a little of that audio, Producer Ellis. So it goes like this. This is Lori Lightfoot at Eddie Johnson's retirement presser saying that she will always support the now former superintendent.
I want to reiterate to the superintendent and to the city that he continues to have my unwavering confidence and support.
Now she knows what Mike Pence felt like when they had to fire somebody because somebody lied to him. I mean, you're sticking your neck out there saying, okay, he told me a version of events, and I believe him, and we wish him well. He's done nothing but good things for the city. And some of that can't be true, too, right? Okay, so then fast forward to yesterday. Lori Lightfoot cut two says things like this.
Eddie Johnson intentionally lied to me several times. Even when I challenged him about the narrative that he shared with me, he maintained that he was telling the truth. I now know definitively that he was not. Had I known these facts at the time, I would have relieved him of his duties as superintendent then and there.
The mayor was on with our Anna DeVlantis yesterday, and as she and Anna were talking, Steve Bertrand chimed in with this question.
So what you're saying was, regardless of what he told you later, what he did that night was fireable.
Yes.
Regardless of what she told. So it wasn't the lie. I thought that's what it was. It's the lie. And the lie clearly is what ticked Lori Lightfoot off. But Bertrand is asking, and she is confirming, it was the behavior that got him fired. And that's the part that I just have this little quibble with. I guess there's no reason to stick my neck out in defense of Eddie Johnson. Police officers should be honest and truthful and more honest and truthful than you and me. That may sound naive, but that's the idea, especially if you're the superintendent. But what Eddie Johnson did, I thought, whoever he was having drinks and dinner with, I think is his personal business. And if I don't like it, if I think that's not nice or good behavior, I'm not in his family. I don't think that's one iota of my business. And then you say, okay, but should he have been drinking and driving? Well, nobody's proven him drunk driving yet. Nobody has now I haven't seen the body cameras, so or the video at the bar or restaurant. So maybe it shows something else there that makes my ever weak defense of him harder to justify. But I don't know that he was drunk, and you don't either.
There is in Illinois, however, a law that says you cannot be in a vehicle impaired if it's moving or not.
Right.
So if you're drunk, had too many to drink, and you get in your car and you decide, well, I'm not going to drive anywhere, and you're just parked there, and the police comes upon you, you can still be arrested and ticketed for DUI. And then the question becomes, has a sobriety test been administered?
Yeah. That's an interesting point, Steve. If I understand you correctly, if I'm 0.06, I could be 0.02. But if I'm impaired, then I'm impaired. It doesn't matter what my BAC is, right?
That is correct. I mean, I think 0.08 is the limit in Illinois, but
right.
You can still be written up for driving impaired.
So Eddie Johnson shouldn't have been that. There's no doubt about it. I think that, and to me, that's the most important crux of this thing. It's not his personal behavior. And frankly, if the mayor said, who are you having dinner with? I think you get to say none of your beeswax. You maybe shouldn't, but I really don't think it's the mayor's business who he was having dinner with. I don't think it's mine or yours either. Hey, Joe, you're on WGN. What do you want to say, Joe? You're on the air.
Good morning, Bud. Happy holidays. Yeah. Listen, Eddie Johnson gave his life to the Chicago Police Department, and for her to do what she did was petty. The guy's got a month to go. Just forget about it. Let it lie. The guy put his life on the line, and he dedicated himself. And it's just absolutely ridiculous to me.
Thank you, Joe, for the phone call. Yeah, I'm glad you called in. Doug, you're next. You're on WGN. Hi, Doug.
Hello, John.
Hey, talk to me.
Very, very quickly, people in senior leadership, if it's in business or public servants, they need to set the standard. No one has a higher ethical standard than their boss. They rise to that level. They really don't go above that level. What bothered me from the very beginning was he did not have a field sobriety test done at the scene. He should have demanded that to say that, look, this is the medication. It's not alcohol. It's not, you know, I'm not impaired. This is, you know, do the field sobriety test
Just
like you would for a regular citizen. That's what bothered me from the beginning, and I felt that he was on very thin ice when that didn't happen. As a senior leader, he should have demanded, treat me like a regular citizen. Don't give me special treatment because I'm the top cop.
You know, we wondered the reverse of that, too. I think that's a really interesting point, Doug. The cops who pull them over and look in the window and go, oh, crap, it's the super. Now what do we do, right? But in the movie, they lean in and they go, Eddie, listen, trust us. You're going to be thanking us if you just do the field sobriety and pass the test, but trust us, you'll be glad to have that on your record because this question about your sobriety is going to hang thereafter. And by the way, we're going to be in trouble if we let you go. So everybody wins if you take the field sobriety test, unless he's drunk. But even then, maybe he'll find a way around that. They could have driven the guy home for crying out loud, but they should have given him a field sobriety.
And that would have been a different problem he would have had to have parked around. But if the cops would have said, look, you're parked, you're not actually driving, we did the field sobriety test, you're drunk, we drive you home, now work your way out of that problem. But by refusing the field sobriety test completely, that opens up the question in my mind as a citizen of Chicago, what is the top cop doing? And if he's doing it, what are other people who have the ability to get away with it doing?
You drive safely. Thanks for the phone call, Doug.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. This texter says, John, I don't think someone who's had a kidney transplant, my brother did, is supposed to be drinking. I know. He knows. Whole nother issue entirely. John, my son's a police officer, and he is armed, whether he is on duty or off duty. Anyone inebriated carrying a weapon is dangerous. I don't know that my building has one, but as a member of the condo board, I think I'm going to suggest that we get into that.
My parents have one, and they have it hooked up to Alexa so that every time someone's even approaching the door, it says, motion detected at the front door, and it's like, oh my God.
I'm sorry, you're on the condo board?
There weren't a lot of candidates on the ballot, I'll be honest with you.
Did you campaign hard for that?
They said you can vote for anybody, and I voted for the guy on the unit above us.
Yeah.
I think he voted for me. Long story short is, I said, well, I have no financial skills. We needed a treasurer. The secretary of the condo association is staying on, so there was only one real spot they needed to fill.
So you're the president of the condo association.
Like I said, it wasn't my idea.
It's a rewarding job, John.
I don't want it, and I suggested to them in my first meeting as president, I said, you know, in some condo boards, they waive the HOA fee as a sort of fee for service. I'm suggesting to the association that we reward these capital officers with that sort of stipend.
So you would wipe away three of the eight paying members. So what are you going to do to stop the condo exodus? Clearly, you have a problem there. One true thing. I love traffic. I love the colors yellow and green.
I like talk radio when they talk about things. Let's talk about this. Bertrand had a point. We were talking about that last week. The condo does have some vacancies. If you want to get into my condo, use some HOA fees. But I'm not going to really tell them to compensate the officers, although... I know people, if the condo is big enough, they do allow that, Andy. They actually say, well, listen, thank you for all your help. Mm-hmm. You don't have to pay the HOA.
That may be against the law, though.
Are you kidding?
I think the Illinois Condo Act says condo board members, because I'm the president of my HOA.
Really?
And I think there's a law that says you cannot compensate board members.
Are you kidding me?
I could be wrong.
Well, then let's not put that on the radio.
Yeah, rewind that tape.
I know some people. Well, maybe, Steve, do you think this is the difference? It's not compensation. It's the absence of you paying into the association. You're not getting money. You're not paying money.
Right. That's a big situation. Because my association is eight units, and boy, if you subtracted three, we would be in serious financial problems.
I don't know if GWC injury lawyers do this sort of business, but I may call Lou Cairo right now and ask him what the deal on that is. By the way, speaking of deals, Andy Mazur, just catch me up on this Addison Russell deal. So what happened there?
Yeah, so I mean, there's a situation now where you can non-tender a guy for the next season, which means you don't offer him a contract. You can tender a guy to try to avoid arbitration, but these guys are arbitration eligible. You know, the thinking behind not bringing him back, it's probably twofold. It was mentioned yesterday that it was a baseball decision because he's a part-time player, probably would have made a little over $5 million.
Addison Russell's a part-time player?
Well, he'd be a part-time player this year.
Why?
His skills have kind of diminished as well.
He's 21
home run. He was a 21 home run guy in 2016.
At the age of 23.
At the age
he's
of 23.
He's 25, don't you? But I you would even, bet on his
you
skills.
You can even see it starting to deteriorate a little bit in 17 and 18.
But he didn't have a full season last year.
So last year he didn't, so that's kind of an unfair situation. But Javi Baez is the better shortstop.
Yeah.
By far. When Addison Russell was playing shortstop, Javi Baez was the better shortstop.
Yeah. Well, is Baez's best position second base?
No, I think his best position is shortstop.
Best position shortstop. Yeah. You don't like... So, in other words, the Cubs just don't need Addison Russell.
Well, the Cubs feel like they don't need him. They'll probably go try to go out and get somebody who's not going to cost as much. He would probably have made about 5.5, I think they're predicting, in arbitration.
Would you bank on Nico Hoerner?
It's kind of early to talk about
that.
Wasn't
he fun last year,
though? He was fun to watch last year.
But maybe he's not... at the level the Cubs want to be at next
probably
year.
Not. Probably not. And, you know, there's a lot of guys that around the league now that have been non-tender that are now free agents that you can go out and get.
What does it cost to keep Addison Russell? $5
million? It would have been over $5 million, yeah.
Is somebody else going to give him $5 million?
I don't know.
Really?
I don't know.
But maybe not five, but he's going to play. He's going to play for
somebody. He'll probably find somewhere to go. I mean, you know, unfortunately for him, he's got the baggage that is going to be completely and permanently attached to him. And you know, listen, the Cubs, for what they've talked about, privately or publicly, he completed everything that they asked him to do. So he was right on par with what they asked him to do after the domestic violence situation. And that was not they say that's not a factor in their decision to yesterday to not give him a deal. It was purely a baseball decision where they felt that at his value for what he was going to be playing, it wasn't worth it to do it.
Is this a sports deprived town? It's not the first week of December. I mean, December what?
Yeah, December 3rd.
And we're talking about Cubs baseball.
Talking about the Cubs. And
a chance for a competitive team right now.
Yeah, the White Sox bringing back James McCann, too. So that's a good deal right there.
I was interested to see that. Yeah. Really glad to see that. Interesting day on the markets. This isn't my bailiwick necessarily, but I'm just looking at the screen here. In fact, Producer Elif, where is the Dow now, please?
The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading at 27,382 points, John.
Yeah.
It's down 400 points.
Down 400 still. I guess it's just going to be that way with the president's comments about trade talks with China not going so well. Of course, he's over at that NATO summit, and that's how anytime now our president gets together with other world leaders, it's just like pull up a chair, get some popcorn. Macron's mad at the president. The president's mad at Macron. Trudeau said something. It's just all of these people kind of dishing. And I'm sure some of it's important, but some of it's just good soap opera stuff, too. But when the Dow falls 400 points in the first hour of trading because of something the president said, although, again, it can recover that just like that. It happens all the time. Lots of texts about our news click and about our first couple of hours, our first hour of conversation here this morning. Let me start with these last two. I was talking about, hey, Steve, you remember when I mentioned to you that I'm on the condo board? Steve Bertrand's in the news desk.
Who knew you and Grzanich are both presidents of something?
Somebody texted in and said, condo board compensation of any sort is illegal. I don't know why that's the case.
Well, let's get Kwame Raoul on the phone and see if they can look into your particular board.
312, it is illegal to compensate board members. Not paying HOA dues is compensation. I am a management company owner. Well, this is upsetting news to plenty of people I know. And one of them is me, because I always thought, you know, if I'm going to be doing the important work of keeping files and making sure that the, you know, utility bills get paid and stuff like that, that's worth something. Think about it this way. If somebody on the building doesn't volunteer to do it, you will take your HOA fees and you'll hire a management firm to do it. So we're going to have to pay for that. Well, if somebody says, I'll step up and do it for less, and I happen to live here, isn't so, I mean, what's so funny about that?
Do you have an HOA or do you have a management company?
We did. We fired them a long time ago. But I mean, so it's we've all been self-managed.
Who do you think has more powerful lobbying arm, the management companies or the woeful presidents who are managing six-unit condo buildings?
The man in the newsroom's no dummy. Got a point there. I guess so. I guess that's it. But I'm sorry, if maybe it's because there can be some sort of graft where people then are dipping into the till, but I don't know that that's, you know, keeping those people from being compensated necessarily insulates you from that. If you're an officer in a condo association, you probably have a debit card and you can charge bills for the condo association or buy yourself a nice steak dinner. So whether or not you're paying me to do that, in fact, it would probably be better to pay the condo board members some sort of stipend, you know, let them have access to either that money or not have to pay dues so as to keep them from wanting to go, hey, we've got a lot of money in the old fund there.
Then you got people who are doing it for the cash and maybe not for the love of the game.
You're talking like the NCAA right now.
I don't know anybody that's doing it for the love of the game. I mean, I think it makes sense to me. I think it makes better sense to have people that are living in the building, to have them managing the building, right? They're there every day. They're quicker to respond. They know more intimately what it needs than somebody at an office. And you call them up and maybe they address it, maybe they don't. And if you, I'm done now, but it seems to me like that's a dumb rule. I do not see why you can't compensate your HOA board members. 815, Illinois Condo Act permits payment to board members only if stipulated in the condo's bylaws. Okay, okay, I'm back in the game. Go. Thank you, 815. Thank you, 815.
I smell an emergency meeting coming up.
The developer makes up the original bylaws. Then when a percentage of the units become owner-occupied, the board is elected. Once a board is in place, any modification to existing or additional bylaws requires a vote by the owners. I'm not sure what they said there, but I think I've got a shot at it.
Yeah, but it's not practical because if you are of a certain number of units, you're going to have a management company anyway.
Right. Well, ours is not that many.
And if you're not that many, you can't afford to give up those monthly fees.
That's true. If there's only six or eight units, then if you say, okay, I don't have to pay, you don't have to pay, well, that's three-fifths of the thing right there.
I'd like to be the assistant vice president for sidewalk control.
Well, speaking of that, did you see that my favorite county board member of all time and president, Todd Strozier, is once again running for Water Reclamation District Commissioner?
Just in the nick of time.
Do you know what that pays? It pays a lot. I think it might be six figures or close to it. Water Reclamation District Commissioner. Producer Olive, will you look that up, please? What does it pay to be on the Cook County Water Reclamation District? If you are a commissioner on that, which to me is like, that's the smartest thing, right? Nobody knows what that does or is. You don't even know what it does or is, but it's like, yeah, I'll run for that. Heck, I could be a water reclamation district, and each month we'll go out to the lake and go, yep.
It's ours.
There it is. Found it. Water reclamation. Are you kidding me? So Todd is running for that.
Well, that's the deep tunnel and all of that stuff. So
okay.
Drainage into the river.
Right.
It is significant.
It's an important thing. I don't know. I don't know how that, though, should be an elected position worth a lot of money. Mm. I mean, we don't know who judges are and what they do and what they should be paid. Water Reclamation District?
Well, I think Todd filed his petitions with 1 minute to go.
He did.
Which is great.
He was looking around going, I still got kids. Yeah, we better get... That's an income stream, man. And by the way, Todd, if you're listening, and I know he does listen to this station a lot, and he used to call in all the time, more power to you. I mean, if... You could learn how to be a water district guy, figure out flow and tunnel stuff, and then you could be that person. Lord knows he has been tapped into local government, so better him than maybe some of us. Do you have it? Producer Olive, I think I'm going to get this now. What does Water Reclamation District Commissioner pay, please?
$292,428.
Not exactly sure what you just said.
System failure.
You better look that up again. It does not pay $290,000.
The governor does. For the executive director, John.
The executive director of the Water Reclamation District.
Water Reclamation District.
Earns how much?
$292,428, John. System recovered.
And you know what? I don't believe that. I can't imagine that's the truth.
It's a big job if you're running the water system in the city.
Yeah.
And the, you know, one to let the manure out into the lake and all of that. I mean,
Okay, fair enough.
Well, we have to break.
Yeah, we have to break. We can pick this up a little later on. In fact, let's invite Todd to join us this week and have him explain to us just exactly what his platform will be should he get elected. It is 10:09. This is WGN. Hi, it's John Williams. We're on weekdays from 9 to noon now here on WGN Radio. And on Facebook, I'm still WGN King John. Our award-winning podcast is still The Mincing Rascals. If you listen to podcasts, and you should, look for The Mincing Rascals. It's free wherever you get your podcast. And each week, Steve Bertrand, Eric Zorn from the Tribune, myself, some of our friends from other news organizations in town, Lisa Donovan, Heather Sharon, Austin Berg, our own Justin Kaufman, all part of the mix. We kick around some of the news each week, and we drop that on Thursdays. So Thursday night, be listening and looking for The Mincing Rascals. You know, we were just talking about Todd Stroger a minute ago and how he's running for Water Reclamation District, which I don't know much about, but I've often thought, boy, there's a place to give somebody a lot of money. The guy that's in charge of that makes $288,000 a year. $288,000 a year. I'm not against six-figure salaries for municipal employees. If you ask them to do a lot, they should be compensated a lot. The president of the United States should be paid $50 million a year or whatever, right? Because think about the enormity of that position. I don't mind the compensation matching the responsibility. But I was interested in what the commissioners themselves made, not what the executive director did. Producer Olive, did you nail that one down, please?
According to Wikipedia, a commissioner makes $70,000 a year, John.
Okay. Well, that'll pay some bills. That's not too much. That's reasonable enough. So good luck to you, Todd, and to all the rest of you running for that position. Steve, are you running for Water Reclamation District Commissioner by any chance?
I am not. Not yet, no.
Positions are open.
Folks, I think I missed the filing deadline.
Yes, you did, in fact. Listen, our news click, our daily web poll question at WGNradio.com is asking about Eddie Johnson. Did the mayor do the right thing by firing him? Lots of conversations about that on and off the air today. John, will Eddie Johnson lose his pension because of the firing? So far, the answer to that is no. 847, it was right to say Eddie Johnson had been drinking. However, it is not the public's business to know who he was drinking with. with a woman, whether or not it was his wife. That is a personal matter. I couldn't agree with you more. This, although I think that mattered to the mayor. I don't think Eddie Johnson wanted to tell her that. This is my speculation. And I think the mayor didn't like that he wasn't honest about that. She said everything in his narrative was not true. Or well, much of it was not true.
Well, we talked to the mayor yesterday on Anna DeVlante's show. I know you played some of it, but
yeah.
I didn't necessarily. I think another way to hear that is that we don't know everything she knows. You know, we're making assumptions about who he was with and what impact that had. There may well be other things that were shown on the video or the way the situation that was handled that trumped that particular, you know, who he was drinking
okay,
with.
Okay, but it is reported that way on TV and in the press locally. I don't know if we're doing it that here, but the phrase you're seeing is a woman, not his wife.
Yeah, but we're not seeing Lori Lightfoot saying that that was the linchpin or the thing that did it. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Well, okay, fair enough. But I wonder. I mean, if that's another thing about which he was not truthful and she's mad that he was lying, then I think that may have not been the most important thing, but it sounds like it was part of the narrative that she was upset about. He wasn't truthful. And you know how I feel about this, Steve, because I said it earlier, I don't think that's Lori Lightfoot's business. I don't think it's her business to ask, and I don't think it's his business to answer. And if he doesn't answer it truthfully, there's nothing admirable about that, but I don't think,
yeah, but
to me, it's a red herring.
Okay, but you're assuming the truthiness question had to be about his drinking mate, not about how many drinks he had or how he handled it when he was there or what he told the officers who pulled him over. There are all a lot of other possibilities that could have been a much more egregious offense than who he was drinking with.
I'll agree with you on that, and I hope that's the case. I hope that this isn't just she got ticked because he wasn't telling the truth. Wait a minute, and here's this person that you're having drinks or dinner with. And you know, she kind of alluded to that when they asked her about some of the details of her dismissing him, and she said, well, out of respect to his family, out of deference to
right.
them, I'm not going to bring that
she
up.
She did, and I asked her about that because at the retirement announcement, she did, and we brought this up on The Mincing Rascals, she did something very unusual. She sort of admonished reporters not to ask about certain things that would embarrass the family because his child was there.
So I always read that to, at the moment, I read that to mean about the you know,
the
alleged
drinking,
alcohol
right.
use.
Right, and me too, and it probably was. But it just was an unusual thing, and she said, well, I have a family too, and yesterday,
okay,
and you didn't want to.
But know. By even issuing that, it then suddenly throws into question what else or what exactly was happening here. Lori Lightfoot didn't have to have that press conference. If she really wanted to do his family a favor, she didn't have to fire him 4 weeks early, right? He's not doing anything right now. He's
well,
a lame duck superintendent who wasn't truthful with the mayor about something he was doing on his personal time.
You can't go to the rank-and-file police force and expect them to be accountable for their actions and give the superintendent a pass on something that is under an active investigation by the inspector general, information that is going to come out. And she said there may have been a time in the past, and there certainly were, when, you know, the old guys would be allowed to just wander off into the sunset. And she said, that's not the Chicago I'm running.
847 texted in and said, no one should ever be drunk. 773, stop.
Not a Bears fan.
I know. you know, that's, and you shouldn't drink if you've got kidney problems, too. That is not what this is about. Stop, says 773. Mayor Lightfoot, you pounced too strong. He does not deserve to lose his pension. Off with his head, Queen Lightfoot. Slow down, your hammer of justice is too big. What are you compensating for?
We don't know what she knows.
773, what does having drinks with a woman other than his wife have to do with the story? It speaks to his ethic. And then and in response to that, 773 answers, well, it speaks to his ethics, his morals, his honesty, his commitment, etc. I happen to believe that you can separate completely a person's personal behavior with their public behavior. I think you can be an honest steward with the people's money, and you can uphold the laws and cheat on your wife or kick your dog or drink to excess. And you shouldn't do any of those things, but we've seen it too many times. People have a switch. They're able to be good public officials and bad personal people. It happens all the time. And by the way, if you're only going to allow or elect or appoint people, if the only way to keep your job is to have impeccable personal conduct, good luck, everybody.
I'm going to have to leave.
I won't. I'm beyond reproach. But there aren't many of us, Steve. Yeah. Except for that business where I was scamming the condo board. It's 10:20 on WGN. Just two more text messages about this, and then we'll move on for a while. John, is it your business if the president, if the governor, or the mayor is carrying on with someone other than their spouse? Where do you draw the line? A lot of our attention is drawn to that. That tangent on this story is maybe the least important, if you ask me, but I understand how intriguing that is. John, having drinks with a woman that wasn't his wife seems a little sexist in 2019 to me, said somebody else. I was at the Jewel the other day, and I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but near the entrance to the store, you know, like you've got the handicap spots, they also now have it mine on Broadway, charging stations for electric cars. If you want to park near the door, get yourself an electric car. And I was looking at the thing the other day, because usually those are empty, but there was somebody that was actually rejuicing his car, and I didn't see him scan his credit card or anything. And so I looked more closely at the thing, and it says that these are free, that if you go to recharge your electric car at the Jewel, maybe this gets people to shop at the Jewel, but there's only a few spaces anyway, they don't charge you for the electricity.
I charge my phone there sometimes because it's really fast.
How is that possible? I'm going to start going. I'll quit going to Mariano's if they do that for people that drive combustion engines. Just have a pump there. You can just fill up your tank with gas.
Right. I don't think that's the point.
Well, somehow these people should be at the end of the parking lot, don't you think? Because they're the ones that like to walk, probably. And, you know, they're more green. And it's like they should be walking. Don't use the parking spots at the beginning for the handicap.
Especially if they're getting free juice.
Yeah, exactly. Put them at the end of the parking lot.
How is
goofy.
That? Somebody needs to help me out with this. Like, what's the cost to the store or to you where you to charge it up? And how much of a charge do you get? I presume it's how long you're there. I might shop all day there if I'm going to get a free charge. Again, I don't have an electric car.
Well, the point is it doesn't cost that much to charge the car. That's why people get electric cars, right?
I guess.
So less than gas, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think it would probably be that big of an expense. It's just another category of people who get to park closer than me.
Yeah.
Women of childbearing age.
Senior citizens, right. Veterans, all of you.
People who've never been here before.
Poor me, the white male of able body and mind. I got to walk. You know what they say. If you just drive around the parking lot looking for the best spot, you will be in the store if you just take a far spot and walk. Studies show. But I think people who are driving around, sharking other people who are waiting to get out of their parking spot, they know that. They know they would be in the store quicker, but they don't want to. They'd rather wait in their car behind you as you're slowly loading into your vehicle. They would rather wait than walk. It's not about, you know, the distance. It's about the fact that they just don't want to. Well, it is about the distance. They don't want to walk that distance. They'd rather wait. But electricity costs money. And those cars don't run for free. They have genuine costs. I don't know how it is that they're able to give you free electricity for your car at the Jewel.
I bet the cost is almost nothing.
At airports and Starbucks coffees, everybody gets to plug their phones in and recharge them for free. And I've always thought, that's an automatic. That's a cost. Electricity, A, it comes from carbon, and B, somebody has to pay the electricity bill. If everybody at the airport is plugged into somewhere, somebody's paying that, and I guess we all are, but I've just put it this way. When I go to get air for my tires, some of the gas stations or places I go, car washes, you have to pay for the air. They charge you for air to go in your tire. Why? Because they can. Nobody gives anything for free anymore. That they would give you free electricity. I'll tell you what, if they put meters on the outlets at airports and Starbucks, people would run their cards or drop in quarters. I don't know why they turned down the revenue stream. 2 minutes, that'll take some calls. Jim, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? You're on the air.
There was a comment about having the meters further away and have the people walk.
Yeah.
I think it's the cost, as you say, of running those meters out to the end of the parking lot instead of being right by the store.
So whatever that trunk line is or whatever, it's better just to keep it right there, huh?
Yep, that's it.
Jim, I had never thought about it that way.
Well, one texter says that APT has a big area for electric car charging at the end of the lot.
At
the
ABT?
Far end of the lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, by the way, APT is so enormous. Have you been to APT lately?
It's huge.
It's just incorporated. It's a suburb now.
Yes.
It probably has its own zip code. Let's talk to Scott. You're on WGN. Hi, Scott.
Hi, King John.
Hey.
Yeah, I just wanted to make the comment. Last week, me and my wife went to a movie theater, and they had charging ports if you were going into the movie theater.
Say that again?
We went to a movie, and the movie theater had charging ports for electric cars.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess I need to get an electric car, except they're real expensive, and I don't know how far they go on a charge, and I'm worried about them in cold weather and all of that stuff, but really.
Yep.
Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate you joining us. Thanks for listening. Hey, Gail, you're on WGN. What do you know?
Yeah, I have. We have two Teslas, and we've had them for 6 years.
Wow.
And if there's only one or two chargers, they have them by the door. And the reason for that is because if there's another Tesla or an electric car, then we know by our phones, it'll tell us when our charging is done. And then we go out and move the car so that another electric car can charge. If they have 4 or 5 or 6, they are at the complete end of a shopping center whatever.
Right, I get it. So you're more inclined to pop out there if it's near the door and then give somebody else that particular spot.
Yeah, because then we'll know when it's done, okay. And then we have to leave so that to give the other people a chance.
Okay, but hold on 1 second, because I have questions about the cost and how far you're going to go on that charge, stuff like that. And I'm so glad you called, Gail. Hold the line for just a second. Gail was telling us that she has a couple of Teslas, and I was just marveling that in this day and age where nothing is free, air and water they charge you for, and they give away electricity. It's like if I drive my gas-powered engine up, wouldn't it be nice if there were free gas pumps for all of us at the Jewel? But they have that for... Why are you laughing, Gail? They're giving you free fuel for your car.
Isn't that great?
Well, so I wonder what the value of that is. Like, what is the cost to you to get a full charge from zero to a full charge on your Tesla battery? What's the cost?
I have no idea. At home, we have electrical, for the Tesla. We built them in, and at night, when the rates are at their lowest, they have a timer that's when
the
Well,
let me ask you this: have you noticed a real increase in your? Did you? Mm-hmm. You said you had these cars for 6 years, but did you notice a jump in your electric bill when you?
No.
Really? Because, see, that's the thing. I always thought, besides, there's a lot of reasons why you would or wouldn't get one of these cars, but I thought that in the long run, electricity still costs money, and you're going to have a huge electric bill. You don't have a huge electric bill, so you feel like you're driving the energy to propel your car, you feel is almost free. You don't even notice it.
No, not at all.
Hmm.
And when we've driven to Colorado and Connecticut and you name it, and it's completely free.
Well, but you got to find charging stations along the way, right?
Well, the Tesla has a screen, and it'll tell you where the stations are around you, the charging stations. And so...
Pardon me, if I may, when you find those charging stations, are they free or do you pay for them then?
They're free.
So you can go from Connecticut to Colorado, say, and not pay?
That is correct.
How do I not know this? I'm not in the market for a car, but that just seems.
And they're at like there's a mall out in Aurora.
Yeah,
Woodman's, or it's a store, a shopping. It's called Woodman's. Well, there's five charging stations there, and there's restaurants that are putting one in, just one. Yeah. All I have to do is call Tesla, and which is nice. It's convenient, but ours go 300 miles. So on one charge,
go from one place.
Depends on how you drive.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
I get 325. My husband gets 275. Yeah,
well, of course he does, and I know why. I'm out of time, but Gail, this is very helpful and delightful. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Have a good day. And by the way, just John, jump in there. What's it cost to charge the car? Did you say?
It's about $5 for a full charge,
yeah.
Based on it taking 6 hours to charge the car.
This texter says, charging stations at the Juul, that's got to be a subsidy, John. No way Juul is paying for that. Yeah, maybe the state's subsidizing that to make the energy, you know, cleaner energy. But it's just weird that, you know, you don't have to. I want them to do that for those of us. Say I get a fuel-efficient gas-powered engine. Just give me a gallon. I'm not asking for much. That's interesting.
Well, if you look at it from an electrical standpoint, if you're in the Juul for an hour, you're spending about 75 cents, or they're spending about 75 cents for your car to be plugged in for that hour.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, I guess it makes sense from that standpoint. John, thanks for the phone call. I'm out of time.
They also do give you rewards, right, for some of those grocery stores?
What's that?
For money spent, and then you get free gas at the gas station?
Really?
I'm pretty sure of that. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? What grocery store does that?
I don't know. I don't pay attention to it, but I think like it might be even Mariano's. I don't know.
Probably. If they can afford a 3-piece jazz combo in wine for $1 a glass, they can probably afford that. Ray Kaplan, the attorney at law, is in our studio. Hi, Ray. Welcome to the show.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me.
Do you have a Tesla? Do you care to comment on any of this?
No, but my friends who have Teslas love them. So yeah. I think, you know, if I were going to get a new car, probably that would be the one.
I guess. I have concerns, like if it breaks down, where do I take it, and what's the battery life? Although we had a Prius, and that thing went forever, and
yeah.
It's still going. So
I've heard good things. I've heard also that they're very technologically updated, and so that might be kind of fun, too.
Ray Kaplan is, what's the name of your law firm again, Ray?
Kaplan Law Firm.
No kidding.
Yes.
And what's the phone number if folks want to reach out to you?
312-294-8989. And you actually had a really good little device to remember that name or that phone number.
Oh, yeah, 312 for Chicago, 294 Tri-State Tollway. 89 was Mike Ditka's phone number. So if you can't remember
Jersey.
The phone number, I said phone number? Jersey. So all you need to do is think for her phone number, think Mike Ditka on the Tri-State Tollway driving around Chicago.
Exactly.
312 on 294-8989, the Jersey number, the guy driving him. This is not a commercial for you, but I know that after we visit with you, a lot of people say, wait, I wanted to ask her a question. There was a thread on Reddit that said that, and you are an expert in student loans.
Yes.
And how to minimize your payments. We're not asking anybody to declare bankruptcy. You're saying that there are laws and regulations about student loan payments people don't realize.
That's true. This is the key. There is plenty of money out there for parents and for student borrowers where they can completely finance their educations and have to pay back minimally or maybe a quarter of what they actually borrowed. The key is understanding the statute that applies. I always compare it to, you know, when you have to go pay your taxes, there's a statute that applies to everybody. That's the Internal Revenue Code. It's the same exact thing here, but people think of it differently because it's a loan. It's not like what you owe in taxes, but it's the same principle. So there's a statute that applies, and the key is understanding how the law works so that you can finance your kids' education.
If you have a you should borrow your money from a public entity. Is that correct?
From the Department of Education. So everything that you borrow for your kids' education as parent borrowers should be from federal Parent PLUS loans. Those come from the Department of Education, and student borrowers should borrow as much as they can for their undergrad degrees from the Department of Education as well. And then as a last choice, I would say private lenders, but you can stay away from private lenders almost altogether.
And the reason you want to borrow from the government is why?
Because the flexibility that the statute provides allows you to not make any payments while the kids are in school. People always ask me, well, but won't interest accrue? Yes, but do we care? No, because you're not going to have to pay it back anyway.
Why?
Because that's the way the statute will apply. In 95% of the cases, you won't have to pay all of that interest that accrues. Most of it will be forgiven.
Why? What's the rule on that? What happens?
Well, so what happens is, so let's say you have a student and you as the parent need to take out federal Parent PLUS loans. You don't have to pay them the whole time the kids are in school. And then most of the time when you go to pay those loans back, you're close to retirement age. You have to pay back 20% of your gross disposable income, which usually turns out to be very little, and sometimes it's retirement income, and very often our clients have payments that are as low as a couple hundred dollars a month for 10 years or 15 or 20 years, and the balance of hundreds of thousands of dollars is forgiven. That's the operation of the statute.
If I'm 45, though, my kid's 20, they go to school, they get out at 24, now I'm 49.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not anywhere near retirement in my book, so I'm going to, we got to start paying on that loan. The kid has graduated now, and I may be 50 years old.
Right.
So do I have, is there any forgiveness for me here?
Yes. And all of that depends also on your particular situation. But most of the time, there is forgiveness, even if you're just employed in the private sector. There's public sector loan forgiveness for a ton of loans after 120 payments. But it depending on your situation, we still can get you a very low monthly payment. The key is that for federal Parent PLUS loans, the parent making the least amount of money should take out the loans. And I know that that's kind of counterintuitive. That's the mistake I see a lot of people make.
Don't borrow the money in the student's name.
The student for undergrad is going to be capped at a certain amount, and that's where that whole FAFSA form comes in, which is a huge pain. Just be honest on the FAFSA because there's no getting around it. And the college is going to take into consideration something called an estimated rate of contribution to try to determine what the parents will be paying towards their kids' education. So there's going to be a cap on what your student borrower can take out for their federal loans, but it doesn't matter because whatever isn't covered, the parent can take out for federal Parent PLUS loans. You don't have to make any payments while the kid's in school. And then after they graduate, there's a six-month deferment, and then we can also consolidate them, get them all under one roof, get you another 3 years of forbearance or deferment, and then start making very low monthly payments till the balance is forgiven.
Okay, so student, yeah, but then the parent, divorced or married, who makes the least amount of money, take
the
loan
one
out in their name.
Right.
Okay, I got another question about that. You may too. 312-981-7200. Call or text 312-981-7200. You have a question about borrowing or paying back those loans? This is the time to call WGN. Attorney Ray Kaplan, all our phone lines are ringing. I'm not surprised. People have so many questions about how to borrow money for college and how to pay off loans. That's your bailiwick. That's what
right.
you do, right?
Right.
And so you were saying just before the break that if you are parents borrowing for your kid for college, and you should from the federal government,
yes,
borrow it in the name of the person who makes the least amount of money. Does it matter if we're married or divorced?
No, it doesn't matter.
As long as you're the parent. And what if one of them works and the other one doesn't work at all?
Then the person who's not working is the one that should take out the loans.
Okay, so I could have a six-figure income. My spouse could have marginal income.
Right.
And my income won't count in the calculation of the payment back.
Correct.
And if it's a public loan, you said, then you don't pay interest until after they graduate. You can defer that for 6 months before you begin paying.
And then we can defer that even for another 3 years.
But say I want to pay off the loan. I want to get done with this thing.
Well, I can think of a lot of different things you could do with your money that would work for you instead of paying off a federal loan. And remember, the statute operates in a way so that people can borrow money to finance their kids' educations, but not make you impoverished while you're doing it. So it's their benefit is there. You might as well take advantage of it.
Fair enough. I mean, you didn't make the laws or rules. They're
yeah.
just there for the people, and too often we don't know about them. But
most people overpay. Most people overpay on their loans.
That's amazing to me because conceptually, if I've borrowed money, to me, Ray, I need to pay the money back. the laws are written so that they're not going to charge you the full freight for what you borrowed.
Yes, most of the time.
Imagine that. If you didn't know that, now you do. And then I have this question for you.
But the servicers don't tell you.
Well, I can imagine why they would not. But right. Okay, but isn't there also some calculation then of how much I'm going to have to pay back? Isn't it based on what my disposable income is or something like that?
Yes.
And is that for everybody or is that just for certain people?
It's for everybody.
That borrows from the federal government.
That's an option for everybody.
And what is the percentage of your...
So if you have Parent PLUS loans, the percentage is going to be, they're going to take your adjusted gross income minus 120% of the poverty index for a family of your size and the state in which you reside. They're going to say that number is your disposable income. They'll take 20% of that number, and then they'll divide it by 12. That's the formula that they will apply to you. The key is knowing how not to over-submit income. People submit all kinds of income that is not supposed to be submitted, and then the Department of Ed or the servicer comes up with a payment that's way too high.
Let's talk to Rich on line 3. You're on WGN. Rich, jump in there. What can we do for you today?
Hi, John. Intriguing subject, and I've been paying on my daughter's college education now for the last 13 years. Through Oklahoma, I think it's OSLA, Oklahoma Student Loan, something along those lines.
Yeah.
And we've got about $7,500 left at about 5-7% interest. I'm in the car, so I don't have all the figures handy.
That sounds about right. 7%, right?
Okay. We've paid down some of it and just said, okay, we'll bite the bullet. And we paid off several thousand a couple of years ago. And I was just intrigued by some of what you were saying and looking for some advice.
So you said the balance is how much, about $7,500?
Yes.
Okay. So you are eligible. I don't know if you probably have federal Parent PLUS loans. I don't know what type of payment plan you're in, but you are going to be eligible for an income contingent repayment plan. And were you the borrower or your spouse?
I'm self-employed and make a lot less money than my spouse.
Okay. Is your monthly payment on the high side?
No. Right now, it's about $150 a month.
Okay. That sounds about right. I'm not sure if we can get your payment any lower than that, but it would depend on what your projected monthly income is going to be from your self-employment. But it sounds like your monthly payment is under control. And what you can do is, if you like, you can give us a call and we can go over with you how the statute works so you can see how much you'll end up paying if you're in different payment plans, et cetera. And then you can choose which one makes the most sense for you.
Thanks for the call. I'll give the number in a second. But if people are on Social Security.
Right.
What happens to them?
So Social Security is income that is not to be submitted. The Department of Ed is not to take that into consideration for purposes of calculating your payment. So if you're just on Social Security, your payment's going to be $0 a month. If you're retired and that's your income, $0 a month until the balance is forgiven.
If Social Security is your sole source of income, then you can stop paying your loans.
Yes. You have to make sure you're on the right type of plan. Because you have to be on an income-based payment plan for that to be operative. But as long as you're on an income-based payment plan and you're on Social Security, $0 a month, even if you owe $100,000 until the balance is forgiven.
224, hi, I have a $40,000 loan for school under my name. I'm 22. The interest is 5.05%. What do you recommend me doing? Paying it all off at once?
No, definitely not. I would recommend... I would take a look to see, and depending on whether or not you're in the public sector or private sector, but an income-based payment plan, because for you as the student borrower, that calculation is going to be 10% of your gross disposable income until the balance is forgiven.
And gross disposable is not what you and I think is disposable. It's a pretty generous for us calculation.
Yes, it is.
So the government says, here's what your disposable income is, and the number might surprise you how low it is, and
right.
It's a percentage of that.
Mm-hmm.
John, my kids are currently enrolled. They already have loans under their name. Did I miss the boat? Should I have had their loans under my name, or is there a statute where we will not need to pay off the full loans? The kids won't, in other words?
No. So the student borrowers, again, the statute's very favorable to them. It's going to be 10% of their gross disposable income till the balance is forgiven. And if they're in the public sector, they only have to pay for 120 months and then the balance is wiped out. If you don't have any loans, that's great. That's great news. But I'm just saying, for the people who had to take out federal Parent PLUS loans because the student borrower couldn't get as much, then there's the statute is fantastic.
I have pages of texts that have come in.
Right.
We're out of time. The phone number to reach Ray Kaplan is 312-294-8989 or financialrelief.com.
Right.
That's your website. By the way, you've been generous to my campaign for the Salvation Army this year.
Yes, happy to do so.
Okay, so here's what we do. If you go to WGNradio.com on the John Williams page, there's a picture of me ringing a Salvation Army bell. I have a virtual kettle trying to get $35,000 in there. And we're going to do a little mini radiothon later this month. And you have agreed to do a match. If somebody makes a donation, you will make a donation too. Is that right?
Correct.
Up to, I think it was $1 million or something like that.
Was it that high?
I don't think it was that high.
I don't even remember. Too many zeros there. Not a mathematician.
You're going to make a $1,000 donation to the Salvation Army if our listeners make $1,000 in donations to the Salvation Army during our radiothon, correct?
Correct.
I really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Thank you for doing that. And Rake is a regular guest on my show in the afternoons. Now that we're here in the mornings, we'll invite her back again to answer a lot of your questions, because I know a lot of you have them. And sometimes she reaches back out to you if you text in.
We do.
312-294-8989. She or her office will get back to you and answer your questions to the best of their ability. So don't feel like you've completely missed the boat. Again, the Radiothon is going to be the second or third week of December. I'm not even exactly sure if we've picked the date. But we'll announce that date. We'll invite people to call in, and you'll be one of the matching sponsors for the John Williams Virtual Kettle.
Sounds great. Are you going to be out there with the bell? Ringing the bell?
Say that again?
Are you going to be out there ringing the bell?
I don't know that we're ringing the bell this year. We did last year, and it was so cold, we lost our enthusiasm for that. But we're doing the virtual kettle where we stay inside and people go online. So I think I'm going to do that. If the station is ringing the bell, I'll go out there again. Thing is, you make such an effort ringing the bell, and people don't put that much money in there.
They just walk right by you.
312-294-8989, the number to reach our friend Ray Kaplan. Thanks, Ray.
Thank you.
11:09 now on WGN Radio, John Williams, weekdays from 9 to noon. So we're here until 12 noon. Then it's the business hour. And after that, Anna DeVlantis will take you from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, then the Rokan Show here on WGN Radio. I just want to say this about our last guest. Ray Kaplan was in our studio. We are seldom able to get to a fraction of the calls and texts that come in. When people text in, we ask Ray to look at some of the texts and respond to them. And so she'll text back, she or her staff, to our listeners. And it's heartening and heartbreaking at the same time to see what's coming in. People with $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 in student loans. I just read one from a listener, and they said that their daughter, who's not making that much money, having recently graduated, her loan service is going to go from $600 a month to $1,600 a month. She said, there's no way we can pay this. What are our options? And part of the truth is that you need to figure out how you borrow the money before you worry about how you're going to pay it back. And if you borrow it smart, then you've got a better chance of getting forgiveness or extensions or lower rates, stuff like that. So she always says, you know, borrow from the federal government as much as you can, first and foremost. She says, borrow it in the name of the person with the least income. So if the two of you, if you're married, even if you're divorced, put it in the name of the person with the least income, including zero, because the loan payment calculation will be based on how much money that person earns. And if they're not making any money because you're a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home dad or whatever, then that'll affect how much money you have to pay. And if you pay enough on time over a long enough period of time, the balance is forgiven. She has had clients who owe $400,000, $500,000. It breaks my heart to hear that. And I know some people kind of get a little ticked because they say, wait a minute, I borrowed the money and I paid it off, every cent of it. I did. Maybe you did, too. Of course, when I did, it wasn't that much. Go to a junior college, said me. But anyway, that's beside the point. Rules and regulations are written. The laws are there. And if they favor some people, lucky them, right? So that's Ray Kaplan's business. She'll respond to the texts that come in. The number's 312-294-8989. We were also talking about, I just noticed lately, and I don't think it's been there the whole time I've been living at this address, but at the Jewel food store near me, there is three electric charging stations, and it's not a fancy Jewel. It's not a high-income area, but son of a gun, they've got free charging stations for your electric cars right there. Somebody said it only costs $5 to recharge, and so the Jewel is happy to put those stations there and let people use the electricity for free. I'm still just amazed that anybody is giving anything away. John, the Glen Ellen Park District pool has free recharging stations, too. ComEd pays for it. It infuriates me as a ComEd and Park District consumer. Again, it's somebody getting something that you don't get. I don't think I'm angry at these people. I'm still processing my feelings about this. I know they can't pay for my gas. And if you want to drive an electric car, everybody wins, right? So we'll all subsidize your fuel costs because I guess it's not that much. 217, John, they seem to be at the far end of the parking lot away from the store at the available locations here in Springfield, Illinois. Some of you have noticed, though, that they're near the front doors, like next to the handicap spots. And someone else explained to us the reason they do that is because they want to turn those spots a lot. And evidently conscientious Tesla owners, when they realize that their car has been recharged by the app on their phone, the theory is they'll go out and move their vehicle to make room for the next Tesla or electric car. But if you put that charging station way at the end of the parking lot, they're not going to walk all the way out there, but they will pop out of the store if it's nearby. That's the theory, as I understand it. John, there's an electric car plug in the Hobby Lobby in Joliet near the Dress Barn in Downers Grove. Both stores are in strip mall areas. Lady that called in a little while ago said she can go from Connecticut to Colorado. That's been her commute in the past. She lives in Chicago. She goes to both places. And she doesn't cost her anything along the way. She just hopscotches to all the charging stations, and it's free. I always thought that those people were swiping a card, that you had some sort of debit card or something, that you were being charged for the electricity. And again, it's probably best for all of us that we don't charge them for the electricity because then they're driving and it's clean, relatively. Remember, electricity is not completely clean. Electricity costs money. It's a charging station. Where does the electricity come from? Well, there's a coal-burning plant or a natural gas plant, probably, and so you're still putting out carbon. But they're giving it away. I'm marveling at that thought this morning. Here's something else that I've just observed. I've got a couple of little notes in front of me. Elif said you got to take a break before you get to them. By the way, Frank, can you help me out on this? You're on the air. What's your expertise here, sir?
John, I've been an electrician for a little more than 40 years. The larger stores that are offering the free charging stations, like the Mariano's and the Walmarts and the Targets and Jewel, if you think about it, a lot of the, like, Walmarts are open 24 hours a day. And inside the store, they have aisles and aisles of frozen food, refrigeration. They have heating going 24 hours a day. Summertime, the air conditioning is going.
Yeah.
The charging stations that are in the parking lot are so minute in comparison, because a lot of people don't realize it, but a Walmart or a Home Depot with 100,000 square feet, they have an electric bill of probably $40,000 a month compared to a residential who have, you know, like maybe $125 a month in a bill. So in comparison to that, it's really minimal. In addition, they may get a little bit of a kickback from the government for providing charging stations to the public.
Yeah.
And they probably have the stations closer to the building because surveillance, in the event those charging stations are either vandalized or damaged or stolen, being closer to the building, they can probably get good surveillance. They can watch them closely.
You know, all of that's really interesting, and it sounds right what you're saying, Frank, especially the first part. I mean, like, I'm marveling at the fact that they're giving away this electricity, but if the bill for the month is $40,000 for a massive store, you're right, air conditioning, sure, cooling costs, stuff like that, lights, me getting a little juice out front, they don't even notice that, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Interesting call. Hey, I appreciate you listening. Thanks, Frank.
I mean, you're not surprised that they're heating the store.
Hadn't even thought about that. I walk in the store, I should say, wow, free air conditioning.
Hey, look, they're keeping the peas frozen.
But I'm paying for the peas.
Right.
Like, I believe every grocery item I buy helps defray their costs. Now, you pull up in your fancy $50,000 electric car. Wait, I have to pay. I'm paying for your fuel. I bought gas to get here, and it's $3+ a gallon. You can go across country. You never have to pay for a charge.
Yeah, but they're saving your planet.
Boy, and that's the single most important thing in the world to me. So maybe I should, however marvelous this is to me, stop marveling at it and say, hey, what a good idea.
You should start working the pumps.
Right, watch this, Steve. Hey, what a good idea. Listen to this. John, if you don't think those charging stations are going to start costing you money in the future, you are nuts. That's what they do. They get you in electric cars. They get you driving all around the country going, free station, free station, free station. Then next thing you know, 28 cents, it's 50 cents, it's a buck. But even then, if you can afford an electric car, they should charge you just out of principle. I mean, come on. fair enough. You Pete Davidson fan? I am.
I'm pulling for him.
That's it. I'm a Pete Davidson fan just because I'm pulling for him. Like, he's got emotional and psychological issues. He's got an interesting and troubled story. Just look at his tattoos. To me, that's screaming out for something. Not fair to judge people by their tattoos, but it just seems like there's a lot going on with that young man. Was he the youngest regular member of Saturday Night Live's cast ever? And then he went away. He's sort of back now. He's been doing the stand-up circuit, and he was in Chicago a week ago. And when he was in Chicago, the story was that he asked people to sign an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement. I'm reading from the Chicago Tribune. It says, Pete Davidson recently has been doling out non-disclosure agreements before each of his recent comedy shows. Most recently, in San Francisco, fans were asked to sign a lengthy contract that forbade them from tweeting or Instagramming any opinions about the performance. Not just sharing the material, like videoing it, but rather he didn't even want you to share an opinion about it. Davidson's NDA was to be handed out at Saturday's show at the Vic Theater in Chicago. I presume it was. I don't know that it was, but that's the story in the Tribune in advance of his arrival. One attendee in San Francisco, Stacy Young, on her Facebook said the NDA stated, quote, the individual, that would be the ticket holder for the Davidson show, shall not give any interviews, offer any opinions or critiques, or otherwise participate by any means or in any form whatsoever, including but not limited to blogs, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, or any other social networking or other websites, whether now existing or hereafter created. You can never share an opinion about what you're about to see. The document posted on Facebook also states individual, the ticket holder, is or will be a guest of the company at a performance event for the purpose of viewing works in progress creative content. So in other words, Pete's not sure about this stuff yet. It's a work in progress. He doesn't want you sharing it or even your opinion about it. The fine for breaking the NDA was a whopping $1 million. Quote, in the event of breach of this agreement, individuals shall pay company upon demand as liquidated damages the sum of $1 million plus any out-of-pocket expenses, right? Because we had to take an Uber over to the courthouse. That's another $750. Like $1 million isn't enough, said the woman who posted the NDA online. I understand the comedians are protective of their material, but to not be allowed to express an opinion, whether I liked it or not, is off-putting in an Orwellian thought police way. Cell phone bans are nothing new in the world of modern-day live performance. Louis C.K. and others say you can't have that. Dave Chappelle, Madonna, you can't bring your phone into their shows. I get that. Pretty much I get that. I think you shouldn't have your cell phone just because it's annoying to everybody else. But so I don't mind them saying, yeah, you can't even have it in here. You know that these days, or at least you can. But you can't share your opinion. Now, so they asked an attorney in Variety this week about it, and the attorney in Variety magazine said that those things are enforceable to an extent. Like on reality TV shows, like on Jeopardy, like on Survivor, something like that, where we want to wait until we find out who wins, well, then it's fair to say, okay, you can't say what happens here. And people adhere to those because it'd be real damages to the show if we know who wins. But is Pete Davidson really damaged to the tune of $1 million if you share his material or an opinion about it?
Is he that insecure that he thinks it's going to be bad? I mean, you know, that obviously if you want to be able to recommend the show to other people.
Yeah, what if you liked it?
And that's great publicity, and now you can't even do that, so...
Here's another thing I didn't think about, Mary. They said that what happens is, and I get this. This is interesting. If you're a comedian and you tell a joke in San Francisco and then you go to Chicago, you want the people in Chicago to hear that joke for the first time. They're paying their good money. Well, if everybody is sharing the jokes in advance, you've written some new material, it sort of dilutes your ticket sales down the road.
We used to buy albums and memorize them and then go watch the comedians recite them.
Yeah, I don't mind. Like, how many of us have said, hey, watch this, and you go to YouTube and you play back a really funny thing a comic did? But that's part of the theory on that. We have to pause. WGN Radio News, Steve Bertrand, that's coming up after this. My turn! By the way, Steve, you know I was marveling about the fact that people who drive electric cars drive for free.
Yeah.
They don't have to pay for electricity. Everywhere they go, they get it for free.
Yeah.
I guess everybody knew that. I know I was being extreme in my naivete. 1116-309 texted in two words. You want to guess what they are?
No, what are they?
Okay, boomer.
Well, I mean, they're paying for it at home.
It's true. Well, they do pay for it at home. But, I mean, heck, you could just go to the Jewel all the time and the Piggly Wiggly or wherever you go and get it. So, fair enough, yeah. But this person said, John, they are also not paying taxes for the roads. When you drive a car, you
That's
use
true.
The roads, and you pay for that via a gas tax. There's a movement afoot. They're experimenting with this in Oregon. Chicago will probably do it, too. And they're going to charge you per mile you drive. They'll tax you for as much as you drive.
Well, I mean, they've been talking about it for years in Oregon and elsewhere. And it does make sense because our cars are more fuel efficient now. They're still putting the same wear and tear on the road, but the gas tax isn't keeping up.
So it makes sense. If you use the road, then you pay the tax. How do we know that? We're going to put a device in your car.
I think Illinois just increased the gas tax a year or two ago.
Yeah. So what's your point about that?
Well, I mean, so they're doing that because they are still getting the money from it, I guess.
Well, if gas prices go down, does that mean I'm paying less, or is the tax going to be there regardless, right? Is it a flat tax, or is it a percentage?
Is it a tax per gallon or tax per price? I think it's a tax per gallon.
Yeah. Well, either way, sure. It would be less. So how about we just tax you for every time you get in the car and drive it? If you keep your car, you could have a 10-ton car at home. If you don't drive it, you're not being taxed. You're not buying gas.
Would provide incentive for you to drive less.
But if you're driving an electric car right now, you are not only not paying for your fuel sometimes, you're not even paying the tax on the road that we are paying. We're all subsidizing for you. Okay, Boomer. Just thought I'd point that out. You know, we were talking about Pete Davidson just before the news. I don't have much more to say about that unless you do, too. My number is 312-981-7200. But do you think it's reasonable for him then to say you cannot share any of the material that I do at the Vic Theater in Chicago?
My question is, am I aware of the NDA at point of purchase for those tickets?
If you're buying it online, I guess you see that. Hopefully you read all of that. But I would like to see somebody just... say, screw it. I'm going to go ahead and share an opinion about it.
Wouldn't we have known well before Saturday, though, or well before these past few shows that he's done?
I guess so. If you're a fan of Pete Davidson, you've probably heard about this, but maybe early in the tour you didn't know. But think about that. Say you go to Pete Davidson's show at the Vic, and then you come out and you say, just saw Pete Davidson's show, and the joke about telephone poles is hilarious, or the joke about telephone poles is stupid. According to the thing you signed, he can now sue you for $1 million. He probably wouldn't get it, but he could also say, if you shared some of his material, he's got a better case. Still, maybe not $1 million. Was there anything else we wanted to say about that? I don't think there is. I had some of Pete Davidson's material. Are you familiar with his stand-up, by the way? It's like you see him on Saturday Night Live all the time, or on occasion. It was funny because when I was watching stand-up of his a couple of years ago, he's kind of fresh-faced. In fact, play the clip from him. This is 2017. I think he's 20 years old. I think he's on Saturday Night Live now. But this is Pete Davidson from a couple of years ago.
How are you guys?
Cool. I wish I could say the same. I'm not very happy. I just moved out of my mom's house, and I just turned 20, and it's over. I'm not going to make it. Look at me. I'm not going to make it. I'm 6'3". I'm 145 pounds. I have a problem with wind. I don't even know what race I am. I'm all miscellaneous in the face. Like, my mom tells me I'm white, but, like, I can see my lips from here. Now I, being miscellaneous my whole life, now I just kind of go along with it. You know, I embrace it whenever girls are like, hey, man, are you Puerto Rican? I'm like, yes. I'm a 6'3" Puerto Rican.
Stuff like that. And then you watch the stuff from 2019. I can't play it. I thought I'm not going to take the time to edit this. If the language and the topics are not as family friendly. Tony, you're on WGN Radio. What can I do for you, Tony? You're on the air.
Yes, regarding the electric cars, the renewal fees for the plates on those cars have gone up by, I think, approximately $150. A friend of mine just paid $275 to renew their plates, so they're dinging them a little for the electric vehicles.
$275 to renew your plates if it's an electric car?
Yes, because you don't pay gas tax.
Yeah, sure, I get that. Although you'd probably make that up pretty quickly if you were buying gas. I wonder, I don't remember what it is to renew my plates on my gas-powered car. Do you know?
I just got mine about $141. They've gone up again, too.
So another 100 or so for them with the electric car. Yeah.
Yes.
They're still coming out ahead. And I'm okay with that, right, Tony?
Yeah, I guess. I live in the city, and I'd like to put one on the street, but there's no way I could put one on, you know, a meter on the parkway on the street. So.
Wait a minute. What do you mean you'd like to put one? Are you a business owner?
No. My residence is in the city, and I would like to put a charging station on the street, you know, on the parkway, so I could charge my car at night.
Oh, yeah, but so you've got one of those.
Well, I talked to my alderman's office, and they won't let me do it, so it's in the garage.
The power of the alderman. They control that, too, huh?
They won't let you put anything on the public way because it is the public way. So.
Yeah, I guess so, although I don't know. Does that harm anybody? It's not very big. Maybe that helps the public way. It would be on the streets right there, right?
Right. I'd like to put one in front of my house on the street. Just, and I live in a very easy area to park. It's not like I'm in Lincoln Park or anything. But
okay, but hold on. Hold on a second.
Just think what that would do to the whole dibs thing.
Are you worried that, like, say you go out of town for a week? I could pull my car up there and drain your electricity, right?
You could, or other people would probably use it. Or I you need a code when you at some place. You need to punch a code in. They could just park there and plug their car in and leave it there for a week too. So
how about that? All right, thanks for the phone call, Tony.
Okay, thanks. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. It's PJ online too. Hey, PJ, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I was just going to make a comment in regards to the charging stations. You were talking about, you know, how can they do that? You know, it's got to be super expensive, and it's shockingly actually a moneymaker for them in many cases. It's probably one of the reasons they do it, because if you look at those, most of them have screens on it, which they sell advertising on. And then the other reason that they would do it is, if it's not a moneymaker for them, is they do it to get LEED certification. They get points for that. So if they're going for LEED certification at the corporate level or at the local level, they'll get points for having those charging stations there. And so between the advertising and then, you know, one of the callers mentioned earlier about how Tesla will send them essentially there, they use it as like a revenue producer, basically. Another interesting fact about those is one of the largest makers of those is a company called Peerless AV, which is based in Aurora, Illinois.
What's the name of that company?
Peerless AD.
Peerless AD?
Yeah, they're one of the largest makers of those signs. I do a lot of business with them. So
I was just
going
to say, you don't drive one of these electric cars, do you?
No, I don't, but I do a lot of business with Peerless, so that's why I've kind of gotten the education on these.
Yeah, this is an education for me today. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in, PJ.
Thank you.
Have a good day. And Jim, last call on this. You're on WGM. Hi, Jim, you're on the air.
Good morning, King John.
Hey.
There are really three different types of charging stations in the area, and your previous caller just mentioned one. That's Volta, V-O-L-T-A.
Yeah.
And Volta has that display screen that he was referencing. Then there's ChargePoint, and ChargePoint, you actually have to pay for that. And the third one is Tesla, which one of your previous callers mentioned, and I'm sure that's built into the cost of the car with Tesla.
Yeah. Well, it just
so
seems
we own probably the least expensive of all the electric cars, and that's a Nissan Leaf.
Well, that's completely electric? It's not a hybrid?
Correct.
What's a Nissan Leaf cost?
You can get a Nissan Leaf probably for the high 20s to low 30s.
Really? And then, so that's a compact or subcompact?
Compact car.
Yeah.
And because we purchased the cheapest one, we get about 160 miles to a charge.
So how's that working out for you?
Perfect.
How
charge
long?
It at night, and we just have a trickle charger. It takes a while, John, but it really hasn't added a lot to our bill at all.
And then when you go about town, I know you were describing these charging ranges and options, but the way I was reading it earlier, people are able to go about without having to pay as they go about town and their travels. Is that your experience,
well,
too?
Not completely. So if I go to a charge point station, I have to pay for that.
Yeah.
I have a fob that's connected to my credit card.
Yeah.
If I go to a Volta station, which your previous caller mentioned, with the display, you don't; those are free. I cannot charge the car at a Tesla charging station.
Oh. Right.
Tesla is restricted just to Tesla.
Yeah.
But another point to think about, John, is gas is subsidized through ethanol.
So while I'm sitting here lamenting the fact that you get gas for or fuel for free or nearly free, I'm getting a break with the ethanol subsidy, huh?
That is correct.
Yeah. Yeah, very interesting. Hey, Jim, thanks for the phone call today.
You're welcome, King John.
Yeah, have a good day. I'm not king yet. The paperwork's tied up in Cook County. But I think it'll work out real well if that goes through. It's 1144. Our news click, our daily web poll question at WGNradio.com is asking you, did Mayor Lightfoot do the right thing by firing Eddie Johnson? Did you hear her on with Anna DeVlantis yesterday? Where are we on that, Producer Elif, after this? Producer Elif, where's the Dow now? We've been having a bad day. Where's the Dow, Elif?
The Dow is trading at 27,398 points, John. It's down 384 points.
It was worse earlier. Still trading down about 400 on the Dow today. We were talking about the charging stations. Somebody said, hey, John, I'm driving home Thanksgiving night. I needed to fill a low tire. The gas station pump cost me $1.75. $1.75. I was at the place the other day, and I wanted to use the vacuum cleaner, but you had to have quarters. I didn't even know we still had quarters. Actually, we still have quarters. I know. We've got them in my pocket. But, I mean, how often do you have quarters? And I don't even think that it was going to take my charge card, so I wasn't able to do that.
No, so, Apple Pay?
I know. Really, come on, guys. Either make it free or let me scan something. But quarters? Seriously?
I'm telling you, one of those best investments are the little pumps you can buy to put in your car. You just plug it into the cigarette lighter thing.
Oh, I don't
best
have one
thing
of those.
Ever.
I didn't even think of that. I mean, that's a thing, huh? And that'll fill your car tire.
Mm-hmm. All you got to do is plug it in, sit and wait, and it will even tell you the numbers, you know, depending on.
Right, how much pressure you need, stuff like that.
Right, right. I mean, I believe most models have all of that, and they're really not that expensive.
Somebody else texted in, and they said, you know why they charge so much for filling up your tires? Inflation.
Ah, ha, ha.
Seriously, that was a text. What else was I going to do here? There was one other thing I wanted to get to before we moved along. By the way, the news click. Producer Olive, so here was the question. Did Mayor Lightfoot do the right thing in firing Eddie Johnson? Now, we talked about this earlier. We'd hoped today to have a police officer on from the union to answer some of the questions that came up yesterday when we were talking about this. For instance, after the show yesterday, when we were talking about what Eddie Johnson did or didn't do, and we still don't know. You haven't seen the videos. I haven't seen the videos. Evidently, the mayor has. The notion that Eddie was drunk behind the wheel of a car pulled over at the side of the road on October 17th seems to be plausible given what's happened, but there's no public evidence of that. He evidently didn't take a field sobriety test. You and I probably would have had to, and maybe we would have failed it if we were in his condition, but you don't know. It sounds like that, but literally nobody has said definitively Eddie Johnson was intoxicated behind the wheel. He was passed out. Maybe that was because of his meds. Maybe it was because he was drunk. Maybe it was a combination. I don't know. You don't know either. But he was terminated as a result, maybe not for that, but the fact that he lied to the mayor. And a lot of you are picking up on the fact that it seems like who he had dinner with that night is also at play here. I don't know that that's important. I'm not sure that that's even fair to judge him by. Steve Bertrand said, when, in fact, grab the, was it cut two, Elif, or cut one? From Anna DeVlantis' show yesterday, Steve Bertrand, I think it's cut three, isn't it? This is Steve Bertrand chiming in with Anna DeVlantis yesterday.
So what you're saying was, regardless of what he told you later, what he did that night was fireable.
Yes.
What he did that night was fireable. Not the lie about it, but what he did that night was fireable. So there must be some video out there that says, okay, his behavior wasn't just who he was having dinner with. It had to be that he had consumed. Didn't have to be.
It could be anything, but they think to assume that it had to do with who, with whom he was having drinks might be a mistake. Right? I mean, that's the only known unknown. We don't know what else is out there.
Wait a minute, what again?
That was wrong. But, I mean, the papers are reporting that he was seen drinking for a long time with another woman. That's all we know. We don't know what else is in the report or what other video there is. So to assume that he was fired because of that, I think, is a big leap.
Oh,
I mean, it could be a big leap.
Okay, well, no. If in fact, you accept Mayor Lightfoot's explanation that it wasn't the lie, it was the behavior. Because it could have been that she didn't like who he was having dinner with, and that he lied about it, and the lie is what got him in trouble. But she's saying that's not it at all. And I don't think she's going to fire him if he's having dinner with another woman, not his wife, or another man, not his
right.
husband.
So,
I mean, it doesn't matter.
So all the behavior we know about is that. We don't know about all the other behavior of that night.
So really, we have no idea then why he was dismissed. I mean, you can
exactly.
speculate, but we literally don't know.
Right.
But it was, according to the mayor yesterday, for something that he did, not for the lie he told about it, although she's really ticked about the lie. Okay, so then what is that? And of course, it had something to do with what he was doing that evening when he was out. Now, I presume there's video of him either at a restaurant or bar, or the body cam video. She referred to videos when she was either on with Anna or in the press. So we asked you if he should be... By the way, Producer Olive, what are the results on that? So if the news click is, did Mayor Lightfoot do the right thing? What are we getting on that, please?
73%, yes. 27%, no.
She did the right thing. Lots of texts about this today. John, my thoughts are the mayor is trying to set an example. I take no crap, and we are cleaning up this city. John, how many members of the CPD, says 708, have thought, that could have been me? I think they'd say, let it go, let him retire. Thank you and Steve Bertrand for your rational, clear-eyed contributions to this discussion. How about that? I don't get that one all the time. This is also what's, I think, bugging a lot of you. He called a press conference and lied to the public that it was about his medicine. I'm sorry, you don't know that that's not true. I still believe that had a lot to do with it, or something to do with it.
Well, I asked the mayor yesterday, too, and I wish I hadn't used the word fool, but, you know, she stood beside him at the news conference when he announced his retirement and talked to reporters saying, you know, don't ask questions that would embarrass his family and all of that. And, you know, I said, did he play you for a fool? And which was a little harsher than I should have said. But, you know, she said, well, I'm going to keep my personal feelings out of it, but I have a family and I wouldn't want my daughter subjected to questions like that. And that's why I did that. But, you know, she was fully on board with him. At his retirement news conference, which came later.
I just didn't understand that whole line, because if she wanted to insulate his family from the embarrassment of this, it's not just at the press conference they're going to be embarrassed. They're going to be embarrassed today if you fire him tomorrow and insinuate it was about his behavior. Well, then what's that? 100%, do we know, Steve, if we're going to see the Inspector General's report about that? Is that always made public, or is it going to take a FOIA to get that? Steve is getting ready for the news. And
I'm sorry, John, what were you saying?
No, I'm just wondering if we're going to see the Inspector General's report.
Well, she was asked that yesterday, too. I asked her, and she said that not automatically, but they did pass an ordinance, I think in the wake of the Laquan McDonald report, that in very important cases, they would be released. And she said, I certainly think this would match that.
Hmm.